The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
Good morning. Welcome to Remnant. I'm excited what God's going to do this morning. I'm good to see a lot of faces I haven't seen in a while. Good you're here. Glad you're here. You guys are in for a big treat, and I'll tell you why real quick. First of all, I got up early, had a cup of coffee there. Got to work, set up, had another cup of coffee. Just a while ago, my beautiful older daughter, Stephanie, brought me a big old bucket of Starbucks, so you're in for a treat. Amen. I'll try to keep it short. We'll be reading out of the book of Ephesians chapter 2. We're moving into a new chapter on this series, Live Well. We've covered a chapter 1. Now we're jumping into chapter 2. And this message is called The Walking Dead. People have told me there's a band called that, there's songs called that, there's movies called that. And it just fit the topic. I did not know, so that's what it's called, The Walking Dead. What I mean by that, it's like being a zombie basically, amen? And we, like I said, we've covered chapter 1, and now we're going to hop into Ephesians chapter 2. And I got now a digital Bible I can possibly read these letters. I'm trying to stay away from reading the screen, but I will give it a shot. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to be reading from verses 1 through 3. It says this, "As for you, you were dead in your trespasses," some scriptures say transgressions, "and sins," verse 2, "in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." Verse 3, "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." I read it out of the NIV. I don't know what translation that is. I hope that was the same. It's all God's word. There's many different translations. Whatever works for you, as long as it's scripture and God's word. Amen? So this morning, as we get into God's word, we need to remember two things right off the bat. If they can keep that screen up there, please. The text. Two things in God's word you need to remember. First of all, the Bible is instructions from God. True that. We need to be instructed. Amen? But it doesn't stop there. The second point that's important in God's word, the Bible, it's also for application. Great instructions in here. Great instructions for life, for home situations. For be it whatever you're facing, it's in here. Instructions. But it doesn't stop there, friends. It goes also to application. 50% is instruction for us, the believers and the followers of God. But the second half is you need to apply it. Don't just be instructed by it, apply it. And here Paul steps into that arena of, okay, we've told you how God, He's good. How we should live. You know? I love what Jerry says, and I've been using it. Thanks, Jerry. You don't come to church to be comfortable. Ah, I'm going to get a nice pillow for my chair. I hope the AC's cool today. Maybe put my feet up. Take a little snooze between all this hollering. You don't come here to get comfortable, friends. You should come here to get challenged. Don't come here to get comfortable. Get challenged. I'm challenged every day. I'm challenged every Sunday to come minister with you and for you as a worship leader and a leader, an example to the eyes that are looking on. And you're the same. You've been called. And here Paul, through chapter 1, reminds them, the Ephesians, the people in Ephesus, of how they might know God in chapter 1, Paul covered, of how you might know the calling God has for you and for us and for the Ephesians. That we might know the glorious riches He has for us. And I don't mean pamby-dandy, beautiful day, every day, bed of roses as a Christian. No. It's going to be some rocks, some thorns, some winds, some storms. It's going to be a little bit difficult for us. Why? Because we believe in God. And we live in a society, in a culture, in a world that is squeezing God out. And we're forgetting where it all started. With instructions and applications, God's word. I'll get into a little bit of my testimony here. And both my daughters are here to testify of how I treated them and I lived before Christ. And they're right back there. You can ask them after church. I didn't tell them I would say this, but now they know. Stephanie and Valerie, they're here today. Ask them who I was. Who I was. And that's what this topic's about. How God's power raised Jesus from the dead. A lot of people can't fathom that, understand that, or even believe it. We've heard and seen of many Elvises, but it's not the real Elvis. They say he's alive. I was kind of a Bruce Lee fan. They said there's a Bruce Lee somewhere in China or Japan, wherever he was from, I forget. I forgot all that stuff. They say he's alive. There's only one man that was ever resurrected, seen by over 500 people, and ascended to heaven, and is coming back one day. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. No one else has risen like Jesus and his power and glory. We're going to have that one day too. It's in us. It's in you. It's in me. It's in the followers of Christ. But let's not forget who we were at one point before Christ. How God took us in our sins, in our dead lifestyle, and loved us into conversion, into the salvation of Jesus Christ. Folks, I don't know, whoever's here this morning has received Jesus, I don't care how many times, you're Jesus, you belong to God. I don't care how many times you've said the sinner's prayer, I've said it like probably 500 times. When Jerry and Jeremiah do the calling, I'm praying to the Lord, I'm a sinner, come into my life. I've probably been saved over 500 times. God will never leave you, nor forsake you. He wants to instruct us and challenge us. And he wants us to apply it. Amen? Is someone hearing the Lord right now? I was all weak because I had to study this. Oh man, does it hurt? It's a double-edged sword. It cuts going in and it cuts going out. Some of us don't like truth. But you know what? It's God's word face to face, end to end. Take it up with God. It hurts sometimes, but we need to hear it. We need to hear truth. It hurts sometimes, but it's good. It's good hurt. It's conviction. That's what's going to transform us and grow us. Amen? Amen? Let's not forget where we came from. We hopefully might appreciate fully the power and grace of the spiritual life that's in us now if we understand where we came from before Christ. See, a lot of us in this room, being the I captain up here, enemy of God. I hated God. I didn't believe in God. And now look, I'm a motor mouth for Christ. And praise God. I've said it before, he took all that rage, all that violence in me, all the darkness, and put this wonderful light that I want to flow to others. And you're that same tool. And I have a zeal and a passion for that, that you guys would get it. Remnant needs to be woken up. We need to step up and start reaching people, telling them about what Christ can do. And I always hear this. Oh, Frank, I don't know how to testify. I don't know how to witness to them. Jesus said it. I say this a million times. Just tell them what he did for you. Like I'm telling you now. I was a wretched sinner in a drug lifestyle, dark life. And he transformed me. That's it. You don't have nothing to do with it. Just open your mouth. God does the rest. Trust me. That's why he said a mustard seed. You just need the faith of a mustard seed. That's super tiny. That's the tiniest seed. And a lot of the seed, vegetable seeds. And it means tiny because he's going to do 99%. You're just one. Your mouth. He does the rest. Are you hearing from God right now? I am. We need to be woken up. We shouldn't be zombies. We try to get a clip that hopefully would have broken the ice. This young girl's walking in a Pepsi commercial, through neighborhoods, it's nighttime, and she cracks open a Pepsi, and she's drinking a Pepsi, and all of a sudden, all these zombies come out, and they start going, da-da-da-da-da, then they're dancing, they're going after her. See, the world is after us. They want to suck us down into that zombie lifestyle. And as soon as she cracks that Pepsi open, takes a drink, and then she goes, no, 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 they blow up. That's Jesus. That Pepsi can represent Christ. They can't withstand the light of Christ. Some are going to run, reject it, but some will come. There's a few people I ministered to this week. They tried their hardest to be here, but they couldn't be here. But they're going to be here next Sunday, guaranteed, because God said, not because I'm saying, because God has spoken to them. And that was that 1%, that faith of the mustard seed. Just open your mouth. I'm challenging Remnant Church this morning, personally. Friends, there's a fire, there's a power in all of you. No matter if you've been saved 100 times, God will use you. All these people in Scripture were used, and they had many failures too. We not perfect. Sorry if I'm stepping on your toes, you're not perfect. Turn to the person you came with and tell them you're not perfect. You're not. You can look at me and tell me not perfect, well, look at me. But Jesus lives in here. And I want people to see Christ, not me. You don't want to see the old me. Half of this room would leave. People are drawn because of Christ to you. It has nothing to do with you, and I'm going way off the sermon, and I don't know why. God is speaking to someone in this room. I believe it. We need to fully appreciate who we are now and understand who we were, and then you'll know what it cost. Amen? So let's consider what a Christian home or life can look without Jesus being a zombie. It says, you, as for you. And he says it again, you were dead. We were dead at one time before Christ. Let's go. Jesus loves you. I heard it all my life. I hung out in the hood in the east end in my younger days as a gangster, as a violent man, playing handball, being at parks, playing horseshoes, wherever, at house parties. And a lot of times at the park, these witnessing guys, the Jehovah Witness, be it Christians, or they always brought me the paper. I hated it. They're here too. Give it to them. I turn around, go get a beer, and they'd follow me all the way to the ISIS. Here, sir. God was loving me since then. Over 30 years ago. Oh, gosh, I'm old. I said my age. It's okay. I'm young in Christ. That's what the Bible says. Whew. God was calling me a long time ago. And he's calling you now. It's okay if you slipped away a little bit. It's okay if you've been saved for 500 times. He loves us. Just get back up. Dust it off, man. Dust it off. I fall every day. But then I fall on my knees and ask for forgiveness and repent and move on. We serve a good God. Like the pastors here said, God is not sitting up there like a big cop with a big old belly cup. Psh, you sinner, you're going to hell. Psh, you're going to hell. No, he's saying, come on, get up. Get up. And Paul wanted to remind these Christians in Ephesus where they were and where they are now in Christ. See, oh, here it goes. And you can tell my daughters, they're here. Before Christ, my home was very loud. A lot of people coming and going. Drug trafficking, alcohol, friends, people, messed up lives, strung out. Ask my daughters, they'd bring my beer to me. They knew where to go get it in the fridge. They'd all be, here, Daddy, here's your beer. Here's your lighter. I was amplifying and it being that example to them growing up. That's all I knew. That's how the world lives. Amen? Your kids will see and grow up and learn everything they see at home first. We're that example. And I was a mean, violent man. I was very mean to my wife. I wasn't a nice person. Violent, getting in fights. My home was chaos. And they will tell you, if you ask them today, what has changed and how it is now in my house. And it's Christ. God did that. I can sleep at night now. I have a clear conscience. I have no enemies. They might be mine, but it's on them. I love them. And I said that last time I was up here. It's hard to love those that can't be loved, but with Christ you can. And he has changed my home environment. It's not perfect. My house is not, woo, woo, you walk in there and it's all holy-roly. It's not. But Jesus lives in my home. And I invite him every day. Come into my house, God, saturated with your presence. Let people come in here and feel uncomfortable. There was people uncomfortable in my home when my wife had passed and she was there in the bed. People were coming and going. Some people left. They couldn't stand it. Not that my house is God's throne. It's just God dwells with us. Everywhere you go, his presence is with you. You understanding this? But we can't be zombies anymore. Verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Again, some say trespasses. The word dead is pronounced, I can't even see what I wrote. Nekros in the Greek. Nekros. Which means a dead body. We lived in a dead body at one point before Christ. Yeah, I worked, I lived, I played in bands. I was a dad, a worldly dad, but it was I was just a zombie. I was dead. My body was dead. It wasn't awoken yet. Amen? We need to be woken up by the Spirit of God when you receive Christ into your heart and into your life and into your home. And it's a process. You're not a switch and you're all of a sudden holy rolling, you know all the scriptures. No, it's a process. But that's the starting point. People need to be woken up in Christ. And I'm not liking this new toy. Probably because it's not my skin color. Trespasses or transgressions. This is a hard one to pronounce. It's pronounced paraptomasin, which means a false step of life or a false way of life. So we're living in a dead body and a false life. Oh man, I wanted to be this rock star. There's another person here who can verify that. I just looked at him. And the band was great. The shows were great. I had this false fed to me because of the world. I wanted to be this famous rock star. It was all lies. It was just a facade. We got close, but we never got there. It was all false because God knew that he was going to use that to be glorified now as I testified about it. Amen? Give God the clapping, not me. It's what he does, and he will do, and always does. And that has this false dream. And there's nothing wrong with making it as a musician, but we need to know, musicians, if you're sitting there this morning, musicians, know who you're doing it for. I glorified Satan for many years in the music I played, and I got really good at my instrument, but Satan was using me. And I was pulling other people down to do and live the lifestyle I was living. I was giving them that example. Many younger drummers, oh, dude, I want to drum like you, I want to play these clubs. What a lie, a facade, a fault, transgressions. I was living in trespasses. Am I perfect now? No, far from. Far from. We're being worked on. We sin every day. But let's not be a zombie. The walking dead. Wake up. Get on fire. Pray. Read. Find a partner. Text them. Call them. They encourage you. There's many people here at Remnant that I kind of hang with and we talk and I see them almost every Sunday because we set up together. If I see a master, I get excited. I get excited when I see other Christians in Christ. And that's how it should be. Not like, oh, here he comes. Oh, turn around. Maybe he'll leave. No. That's the zombie not wanting to love on that person and lift them up. I can't even get to the first point. I have a question. Can a person or a strong believer be separated from God? I knew it'd be quiet. Can a strong believer in God be separated from God and not saved? I have some verses to prove it. And the answer is yes. And I believe that they're the next slides. Look at this one. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a what? Worshipper of God. Look, she believed in God. She worked and worshiped God. She believed in him, right? We just read it. Look what it says. The Lord opened her heart. Wait a minute. She was already serving God and praying and seeking him. No. And she responded to whose message? Paul. The calling. Come to Christ. See, there's answers in the Bible. People ask questions. Go to the scripture. I thought you couldn't either. I really thought, no, you believe in God, you're following him, you're a changed person. No, you're not. This woman was an elderly woman, and she was following God for many years, but look what happened. She wasn't truly saved yet. Someone asked me this yesterday, just recently. You know what happens when a person's saved and they fall back and they go back to their old lifestyle for years or months or weeks, let's just say, for speak? Well, they weren't truly converted. You know why? I answered this. I don't know if it's the answer, but this was my personal answer because it took place in my heart and in my life personally. I said those people fell back and keep falling back and veer from God for years, months, weeks, days because you haven't fully given it. Surrendered it or tired of it. I was tired of the drugs. I was tired of being the ugly dad, the ugly husband, the ugly neighbor, the ugly friend, irresponsible, lying and cheating and stealing and hypocrisy all over me. I got tired of it. My soul inside said, Frank, be real once. Can you be real? Can you be honest with yourself and people? With your home? Yeah. That's when I said, I'm tired, God. And he came into my life 13 years ago. And this is what the product you see. A fire, a passion that he put in me that I'm after every day. Again, I mess up every day, but we need to go after it. It's not going to come fall in your lap. It's not going to come show up here in Remnant on your lap. You got to go after God. He's after us. He's like an endless lover after us. Are we after him? Oh, I get worked up with this stuff. Next scripture. Okay, you want more proof? Acts chapter 2. Now, there staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews. God-fearing Jews. Not just one person now. This is in Pentecost, in the upper room, when the disciples gathered after Christ had left, and the tongues of fire came. They're all speaking in different tongues. That's out of that scripture. I just pulled it out of that context. But look what happens. There's many guys there. For many nations that I thought were saved. But the Holy Spirit hadn't come upon them yet. See, that's when you come to Christ. You say, Jesus, come into my life and change me. Then you're woken up. You're not, anymore. You're woken up. Your soul within you, your spirit is woken up. And you start seeing things differently. See, that's when my home started changing because I started seeing I was treating my daughters wrong. I was segregating them when my biological daughter would come over and I'd kick them to the curb. And God said, no, they're your daughters too. You sit her down and you clarify that because you serve me now. You're not a zombie no more. There's a light in you. And you exemplify my character, Frank. That's what God tells us. This is a tough message. I never have nice messages. Again, I feel like Ezekiel. I feel like Jeremiah. I feel like Isaiah. These guys had tough messages people did not want to hear. There's many churches right now that gather and they just hear tingling messages that tickle their ears and make them laugh. We need to hear truth and power. We need to hear the truth, folks. Yeah, it's good. It's good to be a Christian and you can laugh and have fun. But when it comes to his word, it's important not just to be instructed by it, but to apply it and show it to others. Again, I work with a bunch of sailors. And trust me, I'm tempted. It'll cross my mind vaguely to want to use one of their words. But I say, no, Lord, I don't talk like that. I'm all laugh with them. And sometimes it gets too graphic, so I just leave the room. That easy. And they'll see that you left the room. And once in a while, they'll pull you aside later on during your work hours. Hey, why'd you walk away? Well, you know, I'm a Christian. Not like, I had to go do some work. No, you tell them. Shame on you if you tell them I had to go get a copy from the fax or I had to go to the restroom, fix my hair, girls. You tell them, well, I'm a believer in Christ and I just didn't want to partake. That's it. And there's a door open, wide open for them that God used you to do. He'll open the door and that person will go, wow, what is all that about? Tell me. There it is. What are you going to tell them? Do you remember? Well, I was a sinner. I lived in transgressions and sins. I was a zombie. And I've been woken up. It's that easy. I know this man died on the cross for me over 2,000 years ago, and he changed my life. There it is. There's your testimony. You guys have no more excuses. I hope you can write that fast. Because I can talk fast. Again, I've had 3 coffees, so hold on. Grab your seat. It ain't over yet. I got 20 minutes, man. I feel like a racehorse out of the chute. The Holy Spirit is powerful, folks. It just fires me up. I love Remnant. God's here. He's in every church. But man, when we get up there to worship, and I see you guys worshiping, and I only have two arms, but I want to lift my arms, but I can't because I'm playing the drums. If I had two more arms, I know I'd lift them. God is good, folks. And He wants to work in your life. And He wants to work in mine. And He can change you from a zombie to a woken up Christian. And I'm going to remind that person out there that I was saved 10 times or 3 times or 100 times. You were saved the first time. But keep working at it. Keep plowing. The Bible says we've got to break ground. It's not easy. Plow forward, not backwards. Ooh, I'm out of here. This is not fun being a Christian. I can't do the things I like to do. God can't use that. You're not going to go to hell for it, I don't think. But come on, go forward. Grow. Apply it. Another verse. Another, more proof? Okay, I'm going to go on. I might make it to my points, but maybe we'll save it for next time. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Am I saying that right? Oh, well. This man had gone to Jerusalem to what? Worship. There it is again. Another strong follower of God. A high-ranking person, a believer of God, but look what it says. And on his way home, he was sitting on his chariot, which was his Honda Toyota. He had just left work. Yeah, you'll get it. Reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The book of Isaiah is about the coming king, our Savior, our Messiah. And he's reading about it. He's not saved yet. And if you read all that context, they come and witness to him. And he becomes a Christian. His whole family gets saved. Amen. My family slowly trickling in after 12 years, and I'm believing for all of them. And some of them are here, and I want them to hear that, because now God wants to use them to pull them. And what's going to draw them? Our life, our past, and our present. Well, he used to do that, but I don't hear him cuss. He doesn't want beer, doesn't do this. Well, yeah, maybe there's something good about that. I'm kind of tired of waking up hungover. I'm kind of tired of fighting with my husband and not clarifying things with my children or my teenagers. What's going to work? Hello, Jesus Christ. Is it going to be perfect? No, but it works. There'll be transformation in your home. It will change. And I don't guarantee it. God does. His word does. Because we were dead. I think there's one more. Is there one more proof? I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia. But brought up in this city under Gamaliel, I was thoroughly trained, look at these words, in the law of our fathers, and was just as zealous for God as any other of you today. This is Paul. Paul was a very smart, intelligent man that knew the Torah. He knew all the Old Testament and a lot of it by memory. And he was an official. And he went around, oh, you're a Christian, come here. Cough to the head. Oh, you're a Christian, come here. Off with the head. He was the first guy in line with his guards killing Christians. Because he thought he knew God's word. He thought he was doing the work of God, killing Christians. Goes on. Persecuted followers of the way. The way was the Christians. That's what it was called back then. They weren't called Christians yet. The non-believers called them of the way. Because they were following Christ's way. They weren't called Christians yet. They got the name Christians from the Romans and all these high officials that make fun of them. Oh, they're like Christ? Christian means like Christ or being like Christ. That's where the word Christian comes from. But then it was called the way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. This was a firm believer of God, Paul of Tarsus, before he was Paul. He was Saul. So you're going to tell me that there's people out there telling you, I believe in God and I'm good. I don't need Jesus. Yeah, they do. Yes, they do. Because I believed in God before Christ came into my life. I went all hungover to my church and sat there on Sundays, pounding my chest, and I did my thing there and I left and did the same thing the next night. Every week, over and over. But when Jesus came into my life, everything changed. I started seeing things different. Hearing things different, talking different, thinking different, actually thinking, period, because my brain was fried. I was on drugs. I couldn't even think straight. I was hallucinating. I passed out. I consumed so much, and God restored my brain. He put neurons back there, new ones, good ones. I could never remember stuff. I still forget some stuff, but I'm remembering scripture. I'm remembering names in prayer. I'm remembering events I need to be at that God wants me to do. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the transformation. Is this working? Come on, get it. I don't mean like I'm going to beat you up or anything. It's my expression. I move a lot. I tell people I'm going to learn to stand here, and I can't because someone told me, Frank, if you stood there and preached all morning, you would explode. So move. So I'm moving. I can't contain it. I don't think the Holy Spirit just stands there. The Holy Spirit's like a fire. He moves. He moves. The Bible says we're rivers of living water. The Spirit moves. It never stops. It's always changing. Ponds and lakes are stale water. Doesn't move. You need things moving. We need to be moving. Being transformed. So there's your proof. There can be followers of God and be separated. Why? Because of the transgressions and sins. Until you ask for forgiveness and you repent and you ask Jesus into your heart, then the transformation starts taking place. Then God can start moving in you and working in you. Believe me, I've been at it for 13 years and He's still working in my life. Am I perfect? Am I there yet? No, you will never be there yet. You'll be there when Christ shows up. Period. Then you're going to forget everything because in Revelation says it's all going to be made new. You're going to forget it. All that scratch, gone. But right now, make every effort. Work at it. Fight for it. Fight for it. That conversion is taking place in us daily. You've seen a tree grow and grow and grow. Branches got to come off. Sometimes it looks dead. It needs water. Some branches need to come off. Those things we shouldn't be doing, they got to come off. Amen? Are you walking now? Amen. Dead in our transgressions and sin. Dead in what way? Dead in what way? Spiritually dead. That's all it means. We're spiritually dead. We're those people that are out there don't know Christ. They're zombies. They're walking around dead. Hey, Frank, what's up? Hey, good morning. God bless you. Jesus loves you. Yeah, whatever. How's your weekend? Oh, I don't know. It's a hard weekend. They always tell me Mondays, Frank, you always look refreshed. You're always fired up. You're always smiling. Why? Because my week started yesterday, Sunday. And I was in church getting filled by the Spirit of God. Seeing my friends and my brothers and sisters in Christ, and they encourage me. And I see lives change and families moving forward and the church growing and new things happening. So I show up Monday all fired up. And I have no excuse if someone asked a question or something about the Lord. I've already heard it. I had to have heard something Sunday. I don't just take notes that look important. Oh, Jerry said that. No, I'm going to use it. I have it at work. I put it on my desk in case something comes up. Take your notes to work for those of you that work. Write them on little index cards. Write the scriptures down. Trust me, I guarantee you this in Christ. Write the scriptures down. Take them to work. And something, some subject, some offense is going to take place and that scripture is going to be right there. And I say that from experience. Take it to work. Take Sunday all the way from Monday to Friday to work. God will use it. Might not happen Monday. Tuesday, it might happen at 5 till 5 when you get off on Friday. Oh, yeah, there. All week I went there. Hey, listen, this, you show them. It'll flow. Trust me, it'll come up. God will use it. And if He doesn't, well, you have extra weapons for the following week. More scriptures. Don't ever give up on God because He never gives up on us. Shame on you. And I say that to myself. And I'll tell you why. Because when my wife passed, my first week at home, I was done. I was mad at God. You took my wife? Okay, I'm not going to preach no more. I'm going to tell Remnant, find a drummer. I'm just going to sit here, pouting like a big little boy, kicking my own behind. How wrong I was, huh? Until people started texting me, calling me, visiting me. Remember I said earlier, when you see other Christians, they come encourage you and lift you up? That's all it took. I was like, wait a minute. What am I just doing here, sitting here, doing nothing, sobbing over my wife when she's with Jesus, basking in His presence? More than anything, I should be jealous because she's there and I'm not. She's right there with Him. I tell a lot of my friends around here, when I think of her or hear music, I see her singing with the angels. She's already there. So, okay, Frank, I need to. So my second week off work, I started cleaning house, putting stuff in place. Not really cleaning, but kind of putting things in place because there was a lot of people coming and going. There was a mess in my house. And I went back to work. I was going to take a whole month, but I went back to work. And Jesus started using it. He started waking me up again. Don't give up wherever you're at. Don't give up on it. Don't give up on them. Work on it. Let's not be zombies. Amen? There's a gift in you that you can't fathom yet. And when you start tapping into it, oh my God. Oh my Jesus. He will use it. And I've seen it over and over. Some of you are seeing things God does, and we tend just not to want to really look at it or shy away from it. Run with it. Run to it. Use it. Amen? Oh, I'm excited. What is the cause of this death? What is the cause of this death? I put this, our actions, our words, and our thoughts. That's what brings us to that. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There it is. It's all in Jesus. See, because when we were zombies before Christ, our words weren't very nice. Our actions weren't very nice. Our thoughts, oh man. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I hate you. Oh, bad they hired you. Have a good day. Oh, I hope they fire them next week. Wearing the wrong shirt. I hate their shoes. I don't know where that's coming from, who it's for, but it's just coming out. See what I mean? That was before. I said it last time, I believe. There was a gentleman that really smelled at work. And the first thing God showed him is help him. Help him. How, Lord? And he came near me. Oh, yeah, I know how, Lord. I can help him. Pulled him aside. Took him into my office. Really ruddy man. Put my hands on him. We prayed. He cried. And before I can ask him what his problem was, he says, it's because I smell. He said it before I can even ask him. And I bought him things he needed. You see him this week. I was shocked. Tall, slender man around my age. Cut his hair, shaved, new shoes, tucked in, smelled good. And I saw him in the yard and I asked one of my managers, who's the new guy? That's not the new guy. That's the guy you helped. That's Mark. Wow! God does that. And he's happy now because he's got some good shoes to run in the yard. He does a lot of yard work. He's got the lowest job there, cleaning, moving trucks, trailers, whatever. That's where you start. I was there once. I didn't like it. But I didn't complain. I thank God for that job, and God started moving me up. God has placed me in an office position, and he just keeps moving me up, and I boast in Christ because I want to be that salt and light to those around me. I don't want to rock around like them like this. Good morning, good morning. When will they see Jesus? How can they know Jesus if I'm like them? We're supposed to be different. We're called to a higher calling, friends. Apply it. Apply it. So our sins and transgressions is because of our actions, our words, and our thoughts. That'll really impact in a bad way in your life. Before our conversion to Christ, we were dead because of our sins. We were spiritually separated from God. That's all it is. A lot of people think, oh, I don't understand scripture. That's it. You were separated from Christ, and now you're in Christ. It's that easy. You were dead. So the first point is, we were dead in our transgressions and sins. Why? Because our words, actions, and thoughts. Second point, walking with the world and the devil. Two things that happens to us as walking dead. First one is right there in verse 2. Our second point, the ways of this world. The ways of this world. I used to do a lot of things in the world that I don't do now. I used to go to bars, clubs, concerts, rock out, party houses. I mean, you name it. The world, that's what they do now. And it's getting worse. Clubs for young people. They allow them to come in. A lot of exposure to young people for just a lot of stuff they shouldn't be into. I was exposed to all that, so I lived it. The ways of the world will eat you up. And it gets so bad that you become numb to it and you think it's okay then. And you just do it. It's common. It's normal. It becomes a normal thing. Like the gay lifestyle now, before it was a hidden thing. Now you see it all over the world in other countries. They're holding hands, kissing, getting married. When you put something in your face over and over, it becomes normal. Even to the Christians, oh, it's okay. No, it's not. God loves them too. And they need a conversion. Amen? It just becomes normal, the lifestyle of this world. It becomes the norm. What's the second thing that attacks us? The ruler of the kingdom of the air there in verse 2. You know who they're talking about here, right? Satan, the devil. You know what the word Satan means? Literally, adversary. That's his name. He's our adversary. Adversary of God first, then us, because we follow God. What does he do? What's his job? Seek, kill, and destroy. Just like he did all my life. Up to 36 years old, he destroyed my life, and I thought it was cool. That's how I lived. Partying, drumming, having a good old time. And I had my jobs. Blew a lot of good ones. Why? Because the adversary was messing me all up. I was blinded by him and the things of this world. And he used me just like a Muppet. I did everything he wanted me to. Watching movies I shouldn't have. Talking to people in the way I shouldn't. Violent, beating people up and getting beat up. Stealing. It's a lie. Satan is out to destroy us. If you're a follower of Christ and everything's okay, something's wrong. We need to be getting attacked. There's people being killed right now in other countries. Martyred, butchered, can't have Bible studies. They have to hide. And islands are getting slaughtered for their faith. And they're right there in the presence of God. Don't be comfortable. Get on fire. I heard a song earlier. Put me on fire, Lord. Get me on fire, God. We need to be that flame for Christ. It's Ephesians, we're missing it. And Paul was reminding them. The intro to this chapter is hard. It wasn't an easy message. But we need to hear it. And then the studies that come as Jerry and Jeremiah start unfolding, there's a lot of love in it too, trust me. I just happened to open up the harder part of it. The dead in our transgressions and sins. Children of wrath. And this ruler of the air is just an adversary. He's going to destroy your life if you let him. Satan has deceived and put people under his influence. I think I have 1 Peter 5:8. I think it's out there. 1 Peter 5:8. Okay, there's Isaiah. Okay, right there. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. It's right there. Ah, the devil's not real. Really? Then why do we act and do the things we shouldn't? You see people doing eviler acts. The way they're slaughtering people. In Mexico, they're just killing to kill. They used to rob you and take your money. Now they're just killing to kill. Young kids. And these little, they're called ejidos, like little ranches. In just here in Mexicali, not too far. Young kids go up there all drugged up, just oozy people down and walk away. That's of God? No. That's the prince of the power of the air. Using people. It's evil out there. It's pretty tough. He's the prince of the power of the air. Can I ask you a question? Who's higher ranked, a prince or a king? King. Thank you. Who do you want to serve, a prince or a king? The Bible says Jesus is our king. And Jesus himself said he's here in the world. The prince is running the world. The things in the world. People in the world that don't follow God. That's the prince. I serve a king. The prince wants me to serve him sometimes. Oh, yeah. Come on, Frank. Who's going to know? Just a little sip. A couple tequila shots. No, biggie. Just take it. No one saw you. He'll tempt me. I'm just like you. Come on, Frank. No one's looking. Go with her. No one's going to know. He lies, man. He wants you to do everything that's opposite from God. I know God is speaking to all of you right now because it spoke to me and it's speaking to me now. There's a lot of things I still need to change that I need work on in here and in here. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And guess what? You too. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, you're saved by grace. And you know what? Thank God for grace. Why grace? Because it's a gift what? We don't deserve. He just wants your life to be better just because why? Because God loves us. He wants to make it better. He wants to bless you beyond you can even fathom. I didn't even care. I knew what the word fathom means. Sounds cool though, fathom. It just means more than we can even handle. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Because now I know what it means. He has great things for us, folks. And he has great things for us here in Remnant. You're that tool for Remnant Church if you're a family of this church. You've been called. There's great things to do for God. Remember, you have an enemy. He's going to come at us. He's going to want to attack us. Just like he did me and in my home and in my environment. There's one more scripture I think is 1 John. Speaking of the world and how it keeps people dead. 1 John 2:15. Look what it says. Do not love the world. There it is. Oh, but I like the things in the world. They're so awesome. I got a new iPhone, and I'm going to say, oh, God, forgive me. Get away from me. I'll catch myself. Like, oh, gosh, I got to put it down. I'm praying. And once I got to go turn my phone off, stick it in another room, go clear across my other room and pray. And you know what's sad? Sometimes I'm praying. I'm wondering, did someone text me already or someone calling me? That's messed up. But God understands. Just give God more time. Start sacrificing a little bit more. Trust me, I get tired too. I don't want to always pray, but I need to, because if I'm going to be up here a leader under these two men, I need to. If I want to lead Remnant with these two pastors, I better be praying. And I always encourage people, are you praying through this? Have you prayed for this? Are you holding your hands with your wife and praying? Or do you pray before you go to work? Do you pray when you're coming home? Do people call you and ask you for prayer? Even if they don't, pray for them. If names come to mind, Bob can vouch for this. Bob's our intercessor here. Talk with Bob. He'll tell you about prayer. I love Bob. I got to use you real quick, Bob. One morning, I'm kind of new here at Remnant, and I'm almost done. And I think the sermon was how God loves us, but through his it hurts when God wants to correct us, and it's painful sometimes, but it's always for a good. It's always for a good. And we're out there talking in the morning, and Bob's little son's running around, and Bob's saying, don't do that, son. Don't do that, son. I'm always paying attention. And I'm just standing there with Bob, and the son comes, oh, crying at the top of his lungs, daddy, daddy. Hit a splinter like that big or something. It hurts. And Tom grabs him, Bob, gently but hard. No, Dad. And it's hurting him. And once he takes it out, thanks, Dad. I love that illustration. I said, perfect, there's a sermon right there. God will grab you, and it's going to hurt. He's going to squeeze those things that you don't want, and he just picks it out. But you got to let him. You got to let him pick it out. And things will start looking different. It was awesome because he grabbed him with all the love, and he grabbed his leg, and he's kicking, and he can barely move. Poor little kid. Bob's big. So he just grabbed him with one hand and pulled it out with the other. Like that, it just went away. It was awesome to see. And God showed me right there how he loves us. And how he sometimes needs to put his heavy hand on us of love and pick it out. But you got to let it go. You got to let it go. Surrender it. Back to that question, why do some people keep falling back? God held them and he wanted to take it out and they didn't let him. And that little kid left with that sticker. That's what happens to those people. Why haven't I turned back to drugs and alcohol and all the lying and cheating I did? Because I allowed God to squeeze me and it hurt and he pulled it out. Do I still sin? Yes. Do I mess up and fail every day? But I let him work in me. And you need to let him work in you. Amen? So, 3 points here. Our nature's awful. Our body wants all the wrong things. So one is we're dead in our transgressions and sins. We're walking in the ways of the world and the devil. And we're fulfilling the desires of the flesh in our mind. Those are the 3 points all I'm going to talk about. So we were the walking dead. So how can we become holy and blameless children of God? How can we get there? How can we live this lifestyle? Well, guess what? I'm out of time. And the next message will inform you in that. So you got to come back. You got to come back. And bring someone else. I'm done. Just closed up the screen. I'm done. Worship team, come up. There it is. How do we get there? Come back. That's your homework. You got to come back to hear how it's going to work. Amen? I just stopped writing right there, and that's where it ends. I'm sorry, folks. Stand up. Let's stand.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.